We're here today with Lou Nolan, longtime beloved public address announcer for the Flyers, and the excellent hockey writer from the Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News, Sam Carcitti, to talk about their new book, If These Walls Could Talk, Philadelphia Flyers. Start off with you, Lou, and talk a little bit about the inspiration and the timing of the book. Obviously, we've cleared 50 years here now with the Flyers, and you've been here since day one. So how much of that played into the timing of it and so forth?
Well, first off, thanks for having us. We're pleased to be on the show. The timing of the book, you know, you think about 50 years, and people have told me for some time, you should write a book, you should do this, you should do that. And I thought about it a lot, but never really put it together, although I did keep notes on different things, and Sam will tell you about that. I had a whole folder full of things. But Sam was really the impetus, you know. He contacted me. He had done some work at Triumph, the publisher, and they wanted to add this to the series, and it seemed like I was the logical person to be doing it, having been around for all those generations.
Yeah, so. Triumph, Wayne, again, thanks for having us, but Triumph wanted us to do a book. They've done this series, If These Walls Can Talk, with all the sports teams in all the cities, and they wanted somebody that was knowledgeable, that had been around for a while, and who's been around longer than Lou Nolan. The answer is nobody. I mean, when you think of people that have been connected to Philadelphia sports, you know, I think maybe the first guy, the old-timers out there might think of Connie Mack, because he was with the Philadelphia Athletics for 50 years, exactly 50 years. You might think of Dave Zinkoff, Bill Campbell, Richie Ashburn. But, you know, Lou has been, this is his 51st year now. Nobody has been with the Flyers longer. And, you know, it's just amazing. And he said to me repeatedly when we were doing the book, I'm just a kid from Southwest Philly. You know, I'm just a regular guy, you know, nothing special. And he's very humble about it. And I think that comes out in the book. And he was never short on stories, I'll tell you that. He had story after story. And we usually say, the book starts with Bernie Parent, and it goes all the way up to Ivan Provorov. So it's Parent to Provorov and everybody in between, because Lou has been there, you know, since the beginning, the Lou Angotti days, the Stanley Cup days, and now with the Claude Giroux and Shane Gostisbehere and on and on. And I think it's, you know, it's a tribute to him and his longevity and his knowledge. And as he said, he had a folder full of notes and pictures and anything you wanted. It made my job a lot easier.
Speaking of notes and pictures, Lou, you've had a rinkside, and I'll say ringside, seat at the Spectrum and at the, whatever it is, Wells Fargo Center now. It's been renamed three or four times. But, I mean, going back to the Broad Street Bullies, there have been some real colorful characters here, and the Fire fans will tell you that one of the dimensions of that were the fights on the ice, all the stuff that went on. Talk about a couple of things that maybe caught your eye that were crazy stuff, be it a fight, obviously the Russian series, the Russian game where the Russians walked off the ice, but what catches your memory there?
Well, from the standpoint of fighting, it was allowed, and it's still allowed, although frowned on, but I think it's missing from the game, that there's not as much of it anymore. However, I used to like it when Freddie would send Bob Kelly over the boards to get things started, and he hit three or four guys, boom, 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 and then next thing you know, somebody will push somebody else and there'd be a brawl. I can recall when Barry Cummings hit Clarkie in the head that one time here, and Clarkie went down, and then right away guys off the bench, and everybody came together, and punches are thrown, and this and that and the other. When the referees finally cleared it up, there was one guy laying on the ground, and that was Bill Barber. That was when he first hurt his knee. And think about those days. If the arthroscopic and so forth had been available then, Billy would have had an even better career than he had. He's already a Hall of Famer. Great player. But that, and the Russians, you know, it wasn't so much fighting. You couldn't catch them. They let them twirl around and so forth. But when Eddie Van Epp knocked that guy down, Karmeloff, I think it was, and next thing you know, they're over by their bench, and then we worked without glass in those days, so, hey, you know, referee comes over, and he's talking to the interpreter, and, you know, we're just talking. He said, well, they're trying to intimidate you by not going back. He says, yeah, give him a two-minute minor for delay of the game, by the way. So I gave him a two-minute minor, and they left, and that's when the guy, you know, the interpreter on the bench, his name was Victor, he told the coach, and the coach said, you know, let's get out of here. And then Ed came down the hallway, and they were going to come out or they weren't going to get paid.
The rest is history.
God bless Ed.
And you talk about brawls, and one of my favorite stories in the book is Lou talks about his early days as a public address announcer, and the referee is trying to separate the players, and he's coming over, and as Lou said, there's no glass at the time, so he's telling him who's getting the major penalties, who's getting the minors, and Lou's trying to pay attention, and the phone rings in his box, and it's Ed Snyder. And, Lou has a job to do. He's got to post the penalties, and they have to announce them and put them up on the scoreboard. And he says, just a minute, Ed. And, 2 minutes later, he gets back on the phone, and Snyder says to him, Lou, let's get this one thing straight. If I call you, you put the referee on hold. So, that is the essence of Ed Snyder. I just love Ed's story, but... And Lou, I guess you'll listen to that, right?
Well, Ed had me a direct dial on his phone up there. I know it was one of the buttons. Lou Scheinfeld told me that I was on there as a button. I didn't know that. But, he would call when things were strange, when strange things happened. Yeah. To either get a clarification or ask what the hell's the referee thinking. Those kinds of things. But
that was very public knowledge, too.
Yes, it was. Ed, there's no sugarcoating with Ed. Ed was wonderful like that. If he was mad, he was mad.
Yeah.
And a great guy to work for, fair as could be, and just a winner all along.
Give me one or two or three in the book, some of the exciting moments. Obviously, that 35-game undefeated streak. A couple of times they salvaged games in the last minute. I think there was a 1-1 tie with Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken. But just talk about that, how it snowballed to the point where it was like breathtaking every night. It was like edge of your seat stuff every night to see if that streak would keep going, right?
That's right. I'll tell you, they were clamoring for tickets back then, to try and see if they could see some of that streak. But that was incredible. I mean, you get the 10 games unbeaten. Yeah. You say, well, that's pretty good. You get the 15, 20, 25, it gets to be incredible, to go that far, 35, better than any pro team has ever done, undefeated. I mean, think about it. Think of all the points that were amassed at that way. And game after game after game during that streak, somebody was a hero. Somebody was a hero. And, I couldn't say enough about that team. It was a wonderful team.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think Pete Peters, I don't think he had his first loss till February of that year, something like that. It was incredible. But, we talk about the streak. We talk about, the Flyers' great run in 2010. There's a whole chapter on Ed Snyder, and Lou was real close with Ed. But it's not just the past, too. It's Dave Haxtell. It's Ron Hextall. It's the current group, too. Trying to get back to where they were with Shiro and Keith Allen. There's a lot on Keith Allen in there as well. And Lou picks his all-time teams, his best, not only best players, his best front office people. I know you have Keith Allen real high on that. And very interesting. Most of the top players he has are back from the 70s, which tells you something. The Flyers have not produced the star players like they did in the 70s. And I'm talking about first, second, and second team, and even honorable mention. So, Hextall has his work cut out. I think they're getting there. They're on the right track. But, it's still going to take a little bit more time.
Last one, gentlemen. The book signings, how gratifying was it for you? You probably recognize guys that have walk up to you. They either have their 35-year-old son and then the grandson standing there, and you go to yourself, man, where did the time go so fast?
You're making me older than I really am. They were great. And I'll tell you, we've had so much fun at these signings. People coming up and just hanging out with us. Somebody will come up and talk and stand there, and we keep talking to them while we're signing books for other people. And it's been a wonderful thing. I see a lot of friends. I see a lot of friends of friends who remind me that they came to games and so forth. And I'll tell you, it's just been a wonderful thing. It's amazing to think that I'm an author along with this guy. Thank God for Sam.
And we had, I think it ranged from, from 12-year-olds to 90-year-olds. We had one woman we did signing at the Hollywood Diner in Woodbury Heights, New Jersey, who was 90 years old. And she told stories about how Bernie Prana, I think, gave her a stick. And her husband was from Quebec. And we had like a 12-year-old who came up to Lou and says, that voice, I love that voice. I mean, it just the range of fans as I said, was from 12 to 90, and it it was very gratifying. And we talked, we did some Q&As and some straight signings, but we'll probably do some for Father's Day as well down the road. But we had a great time. We really did.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you guys. The book's available in bookstores and Amazon.com. I've read it. It's worth reading. If you're a Flyers fan, you'll learn things. That, for me, whenever I read a book, I want to know. I want to find out stuff I didn't know. And I'm telling you right now, every other page there was seemed like there was something I didn't know.
And one more thing, too, if I could mention, Wayne. Lou is going to be honored by the Philadelphia Sports Writers Association on January the 15th at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Cherry Hill. So, you know, there will be some great people there. Carson Wentz, schedule permitting, is being honored as the Pro Athlete of the Year. We're hoping he can make it. He certainly could be honored. Reese Hoskins, the great young slugger on the Phillies, and a lot of other people on the dais. But at 6 o'clock, and actually we'll be doing a book signing there about 5 o'clock, but the banquet starts 6 o'clock. That's Monday, January 15th. And Lou will be honored for his 50-plus years with the Flyers. So if people are interested, stop down, and we'd love to see you there.
Great. Good luck with the book, guys.
Thanks for having us on.
Thanks, Wayne. Appreciate it.